Joshua chapter number 7 is where we're going to be tonight. And again, I've been trying to kind of go Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, because man, on this thought that we're looking at, it seems like there is just an example after example of times that we look at the way that things were going in people's life and maybe how we think that God handled things and how that we think God should have handled things, that it looks unfair. We've kind of been on this topic of when God doesn't make sense and how do we respond and how do we react and how do we continue on when God doesn't make sense in our life. And tonight we're going to kind of put maybe a little different spin on it. We're going to put a little different we kind of been looking about how God delivered out of every time that we didn't think God made sense, but God was still there and God delivered. And maybe in the example that we're going to use tonight, it may turn out a little different. But before we get into that, we had been talking about the storm, and you know, the thought crossed my mind today, ain't it amazing how they started calling for this storm and they start showing the size of this storm and the possible track that this storm is going to take and where it could affect and what it could do. And everybody goes to preparing for this storm. Now, there's nothing wrong with preparing, you know, and I've done a few things myself, and I don't really know what I've done, but I told Autumn to stop and get gas. That's what I've done. I told her to stop and get some gas in her car. I said, in case the power's out for a couple of days, we can still go. But then I did get some bar and chain oil for my chainsaw, just in case I needed to get home and a tree fell down. So I'm prepared, as far as I'm concerned. But man, people have been sending pictures on Facebook and different things of everybody being out of water, and everybody being out of bread, and everybody being out of this, and everybody and there's nothing wrong with preparing, and I'm not dogging that whatsoever. But you know, I think if they could take, and if Super Doppler could look out there, and instead of seeing the size of a storm, or seeing how close a storm it was, or the path of a possible storm, if Super Doppler could look out there and show us exactly how close it is for God coming back after His church, or if Super Doppler could reach out there and show us exactly how close it is that we may stand before God and how short our life really is, you know, instead of the shelves being empty at Walmart tonight, the altars would be full in our churches tonight. But we're a lot more concerned about preparing for a storm and not being without. We're a lot more concerned with making sure that our family has bread and bologna and cheese and all those things. We're a lot more concerned with preparing for that. And here in this physical life, people are a lot more concerned with that than they are preparing their hearts to meet God, or preparing their hearts to go out tomorrow and be a light to somebody, or maybe even preparing to come into God's house and worship. And this is all free. This is not one bit part of the message tonight. I'm going to start charging here in a minute. But this is all free. But ain't it amazing how people will prepare for a little bitty something? And it could be a tragedy. I mean, it could be just devastating what this storm does. But I promise you, if you stand before God without Jesus Christ in your life, that's going to be tragic. That's going to be devastating. I wish that people would take the same concern for their spiritual life as we do for what little bit of life that we see here and the little bit that we experience. But Joshua chapter number 7, start the clock now. Joshua chapter number 7, as we look at this and we have been studying about how God just came through and it would look like that God didn't make sense and how that God always just stepped in right in the middle of time, right on time, and God just delivered in an amazing way. Now in Joshua chapter number 6, if you recall, we were studying about Jericho and how that they came against Jericho, and Jericho was such a fortified city, and God told the children of Israel and told Joshua, he says, I want you to march around Jericho, and I want you to do these things, and the walls won't come falling down, and God gave them great victory. Matter of fact, in verse number 27 of Joshua chapter number 6, the Bible says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Not only was Joshua a hero, but God was a hero because he came through. In a time when it seemed like there's no way we can be victorious, there's no way that we can come against Jericho and walk out of this thing with victory, in that kind of time when God didn't make sense, God walked on the scene and God provided. And look, God's a hero and Joshua is a hero. Now as we look at this tonight and we keep reading right on into Joshua chapter number 7, the Bible says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi. I'm going to say these names best I can, and you can just make them up with me as we go. The son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and saith unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So look, we come up against Jericho, and all of a sudden Joshua says, there's no way that we can be victorious in Jericho. And all the people are like, there's no way possible that we can be victorious. And God tells them to do something that don't make sense, and they follow God, and man, everything just, whew. Now look at the confidence that they have. Now that they've had that victory in their life, they're up here and they're walking on cloud nine, and they're just like, and Joshua says, now somebody go up and spy out Ai. That's our next victory that we're going to have is in Ai. That's our next battle that we're going to fight. Somebody go to Ai and let's look and see what's going on over there. And they go up and they look and they come back to Joshua. And look, they're so confident in what's going on. They say, look, Joshua, there's no sense in sending everybody over to Ai. There's absolutely no sense in it. There's only a few people over there, and there's no sense in everybody having to go up there and labor. Just let 2,000 or 3,000 of us go, and man, we'll take care of this. We'll be home by sundown. Everything's going to be okay. And so Joshua believes his spies. Look, verse number four. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 30 and six men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Sherebim, and smote them in going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. All of a sudden, God don't make sense again. All of a sudden, God gave us victory at Jericho. We're confident. Man, we're ready to roll. We go to Ai. This should be a piece of cake, no problem. And they go in there and get their tails whipped. All of a sudden, look, the Bible says that their hearts melted. These people that was just so confident, that knew they was just going to go in there and walk right through Ai and everything was going to be a piece of cake, no problem. All of a sudden, they take going there and they take a good tail whipping, and all of a sudden, their hearts are melted. They're like, God, what have you done to us? This don't make sense, God. We beat an impossible enemy in Jericho. That was absolutely no way, and by not even fighting, God, you done all of our fighting for us, and by us not even doing anything but walking around and making some noise, you gave us victory. And now that we have a confidence, God, and we know that we're going to go in there and we're going to walk through Ai, now we go over there and we get our tails whipped, and now the people, their hearts melted and became as water. All of a sudden, God don't make sense again. It seems like every time that we have a victory in our lives, that the next battle that comes along, we have to struggle for that victory again. But I wonder sometimes, you know, as we look at this tonight and as we look at the remainder of this story here in just a minute, or this event in God's Word, and we've been talking for the last few weeks about when God doesn't make sense. When God does stuff in our life and we can't understand what God's doing. But I wonder, if God could speak aloud to us tonight, if he'd say, Fellowship, let me ask you a question. For the past few weeks, you've been talking about when I don't make sense. But I wonder if God would look at us and say, but what about when I think that you don't make sense? What about when I look at you and I think, I cannot believe that that's my people. That don't make any sense. I cannot even comprehend what they're doing. See, we look at God and we say, God, we don't understand why this is happening. We don't understand why this is happening in our lives, why this is going bad or whatever. And God, this doesn't make sense. But I wonder if God would ask us, well, let me ask you something. Why don't you make sense tonight? Verse number 6, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Even Joshua is starting to question what in the world's going on. Verse number 8, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall surround us. Excuse me, I eat chili beans tonight and they're fighting me up here. And cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing and have stolen and have disassembled. Also, they have put it even among their own stuff. Now listen, when they went into Jericho, the instructions from God is, you destroy absolutely everything. You don't take anything. You don't touch anything. Everything dies. Everything is destroyed. So now as they go to Ai, and now the people are beginning to think, and even Joshua himself is beginning to think, God, this don't make sense why we just suffer this great loss after such wonderful victory. God, this don't make sense until God begins to reveal what he's doing. And see, God begins to say, look, Joshua, you don't understand. Because the very thing that I told you not to do, the very thing that you instructed the people not to do, they have went and done. The very thing that I've told them, look, I gave them victory and told them to destroy everything, but they have taken it. Look, he says, they have even put it among their own stuff. See, what had happened is they went into the temple and they'd seen all this beautiful stuff and all this fine stuff and this stuff that was worth so much, and some of them have begun to take it out of the temple and taken it out of Jericho, and they have hid it in their own tents. They have taken it and they have placed it. All of a sudden, even after God provided such victory, they're doing exactly opposite of what God asked them to do. See, I wonder in our lives, the times that God has provided us such wonderful victory, and the times that God has done things when we were looking and we're saying, God, this doesn't make sense, but God showed up, brought us through it, gave us victory over whatever was going on in our lives, and then we turn right around and go against God's will. I wonder if God looks and says, that doesn't make sense. That don't make a lick of sense. I just showed them who I was. I just showed them how much I cared for them. I just showed them how I can show up and show out in their life. And yet, even though I gave them wonderful victory when victory should not have been had, they're going to turn and go right against what I have said. That just don't make sense. So I believe with all my heart that God looks at my life sometimes and says, Josh, you don't make sense. How I could lead you and how you could follow me and how I could give you victory, and then you turn around and go against my will, and then you turn around and let something into your life that shouldn't be there. It's amazing to me how that we're always wondering why God doesn't make sense, and really the thing that don't make sense is why we act the way we do towards God. What really don't make sense is why after God has delivered us and after God has given us victory, why we would turn around and go against God. See, as you continue reading this event here in the Bible, God reveals unto Joshua who took what. And Joshua goes unto their tent and he says, look, Achan, I know it was you. I know you're the one that done it because God's already shown me, so just might as well show me what you done. And Achan rolls back the rug there in his tent and the hole that he's dug in the sand. He shows him, he says, right here it is. And he goes out and destroys that, and then he has to destroy Achan and his whole family also. Now look, don't take what I'm saying out of context. I'm not saying that every time that something comes bad in your life, that it's because of something bad that you have done in your life. That is absolutely not it. That bad things happen, and things happen that just sometimes are just life. Sometimes we blame stuff even on the devil that's not the devil's fault. That flat tire that you had this morning might not be the devil's fault. It might have kept you out of an accident. It might have just been life. It might have just been one of those things. You should have replaced the tire 3 months ago, but you're like me and you're a tightwad and you let the wires show and you didn't do it. So now you got a flat tire. Deal with it. That doesn't mean that some kind of great sin is in your life or the devil is attacking you or anything else. Because I want to say to us tonight, when God has to allow things in our life because we have allowed sin into our life, you will know the purpose of that. Well, preacher, how do you know that? Been there. Done that. I'm glad I don't have the t-shirt because I'd have to wear it often. I've been in the place to where God had to allow things into my life or allow me to miss blessings in my life in order for me to turn and go, you know what? I know what's going on. I'm not walking where I'm supposed to be with God. I'm not doing the things I should be doing with God. I'm not communing with God. I'm not having that intimate relationship with God right now. Or sometimes I am just absolutely allowing sin into my life and I'm following away from God, and that's why God had to allow this into my life. But if that's the purpose, you'll know it. You won't be guessing. You'll know it. But as we look at this tonight, and ain't it amazing how that when we think about God not making sense, how that when we think about well, God, this doesn't make sense in my life, and I don't know what you're doing, and I'm not really sure that you really love me, God, if you're going to allow this. How come it's always in the face of adversity? How come it's always when trouble hits? How come when life is going great and everything is wonderful, how come we're not asking God, God, this doesn't make sense. What are you doing? But it's always when the storm is brewing. It's always when life is falling apart. Because in our mind, I believe that we think that God is good. Amen. He is good all the time. The Bible teaches me that all things work together for the good of them that are called according to his purpose. Okay. I understand that. But I do want you to know that as we go along through life and bad things happen, that it's not always God punishing us and God doing something wrong against us. That sometimes God is molding us. God is shaping us. And God is putting us in a place to where, look what these guys did. When they was on that cloud nine and everything was wonderful and they had such victory, it was no problem. I got this. Even Joshua, he let the men talk him out. I don't know whether he did or not. I don't know. He might not have ever said, no, we need to go ahead and send 5,000 down there. But when those guys said, look, we only need to send 2,000 or 3,000 down there, we got this, no problem. Joshua said, okay, y'all go handle it. Get on with it. Even he was in a place that he felt comfortable. But you know what? Sometimes when we get in that place to where we feel comfortable, it all becomes about I and a whole lot less about him. And that's not where we need to be. I need to continually be reminded that I can't do anything without God's strength and God's help. But it's always in the face of adversity that we're looking and we're saying, God, this doesn't make sense. It's always in the face of trouble or heartbreak or burdens or trials that we're saying, God, you don't make sense. But I want to tell you when God really doesn't make sense. When God really doesn't make sense is when everything's going good in my life. When I'm being blessed and when everything seems like everything is fair and everything is good. That's when I really should look at God and say, God, this doesn't make sense because I know what I am. God, I know where my mind goes sometimes. God, I know where my thoughts are sometimes. God, I know that I fail you and I fall and I come short. God, it doesn't make sense that you would love somebody like me. God, it doesn't make sense that you looked at me and the Bible tells us, but he commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. That's what don't make sense. If you want to know what don't make sense tonight, it's not that I have to face trials and troubles and tribulations. I deserve those. Those are the kind of things that a lot of times I bring upon myself in my own life. But what doesn't make sense is that there's a God in heaven that loves me so much that even though he knew that I was going to fall and come short, that I was going to still sin after I got saved, that I was still going to wait right after a victory that I was going to turn away from him. It doesn't make sense that he still shows me love and kindness, that he still shows me mercy, that he still gives me grace, that he still gives me faith to believe in him, that he still gives me good things and blessings in my life. I'm going to tell you tonight that when God is being good to me, that's when he really doesn't make sense. Now, I know we don't like that tonight because we want to think about this good God that we serve. We want to think about this, well, when I get saved and God's just going to be so good to me, and amen, he sure is. He has been so good to me. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you really want to get down where the rubber meets the road, you really want to get real in my life, it does not make sense. See, the Bible tells me that before the foundations of the world that I was chosen. See, people want to talk about predestination and those kinds of things, and I believe with all of my heart that Christ died for whosoever will. Whoever will call upon his name shall be saved. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that I am chosen tonight. But I believe that anybody else that will call upon Christ's name and ask for forgiveness of their sins, they are chosen also. See, it doesn't make sense. If you really want to talk about what doesn't make sense that God would do, is that he would choose somebody like me. Is that he would choose somebody that still, it don't make sense to me. I know I've been saved since I was the age of 7, and there's a whole lot of things in this world that I didn't get into, but I'm going to tell you, I know, and you know, how wicked that we can be. You take the grace of God out of my life. You take the Spirit of God out of my life. You take the desires of God out of my life, and I'm capable of doing absolutely anything. And it amazes me, and it doesn't make sense that God would love me so much that he said, you know what? Even though that I know how you really are, even though that I know the Josh that's not wearing his holy britches, I know that, Josh. Then I'm still going to love you. And I'm still going to allow my son to die for you. And I'm still going to prepare you a place. That's what doesn't make sense. So many times in God's word, we're looking in our own lives and we're saying, well, God, this bad thing happened. Bad things happen to good people. Do you know that? Absolutely. We're always trying to find a reason why things happen. We're always trying to justify it in our minds. Again, if you go all the way back to the first lesson we started in this, our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts. His ways and his thoughts are much higher than mine. And if you go back to that and we look tonight, we don't understand why bad things happen to good people. We don't understand why everything doesn't make sense to us. We don't understand why God don't just open up a book and say, here's what I'm doing. We probably couldn't handle it if he did show that to us. We couldn't handle it. Because for one thing, if you're like me, I would still probably argue with God and say, no, God, I'm right. You're wrong. Because we think that we are. My wife says that I'm a control freak, and that's the reason I can't stand Silas driving. That's the reason she says I don't like for Silas to drive. But I think that I'm right, and my ways are right, and we all have our own opinions, and our opinions are the best opinions. Amen. Amen. Good place for that. I know. God, pray for this holy congregation right here. Amen. Amen. All right. So as we have this opinion right here, and we think, even if God said, right, here's what I'm doing, we'd say, well, God, there's a better way. So I think that's the reason that God don't show us everything, because for one, we probably still wouldn't have the faith to believe it, and for the other, we would not be able to handle what God would show us. But bad things happen to good people, but I also want you to know you're not going to like this. Good things happen to bad people. You say, well, preacher, I just don't like it. Well, listen to me tonight. You're bad people. You don't like it, and I don't like it. I like to think of myself, I've got it on the bottom of my email that I send out, that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. That's one of my verses that I try to live by. Hey, if I miss $5 today, but I handled myself in a way that I have a good name, it'll be all right. I believe that. And I've got that on the bottom of my email. I'm a good person. Hogwash. The Bible tells us there's none good, no, not one. That your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. And if you want to get right down to it, the day you got saved, good things happen to bad people. If you wake up in the morning and you've got your health and you've got strength and your family is okay and you've got something to eat after a while, good things just happen to bad people. If you get up in the morning, and trust me, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will still be saved. But if you get up in the morning and you're still saved, good things just happen to bad people. And that doesn't make sense. So if we want to look at why God doesn't make sense, let's take the whole picture of the thing. Instead of just saying, God, this bad thing happened in my life and I don't deserve it and I don't understand it. So God, you don't make sense and I just don't know if I'm going to try to understand you anymore, God. I don't know if me and you should be friends or not, God. I don't know if I want that intimate relationship with you because, God, you don't make sense. I know the Bible says your thoughts are higher than mine, your ways are higher than mine, but if that's the way it's going to be, I'm just going to kind of go out here on my own and whatever happens. Bull, don't do that. Understand God in a complete picture of the whole thing. God, you're good to me when I'm bad. You're good to me when I'm good. If you want to talk about God not being fair, God being good to us is not fair. Because I'm going to tell you, if I got fair tonight, I would have to stand before God, and I would have to stand there and give an account for the sin that I have done. If I got fair tonight, when I stood before God, he would begin to read off the bad things that I've done. And when he got done, if he wanted to be fair with me tonight, he'd say, the only thing that you deserve is hell. But I'm so glad God's not fair. I'm so glad that when I stand before God, look, the Bible tells me, he says, look, there's going to be some books open, and there's going to be another book open, and I believe that other book is going to be the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, let me show you what's not going to make sense. Knowing how many times I've failed God, and I've done things that I shouldn't have, and whatever, you fill in the blank. And God looks in that book, and when he sees my name written there in that book, in that Lamb's Book of Life that was written there when I was 7 years old, and you can't do nothing to take it out of there, hallelujah. And the government can't do nothing to take it out of there. Can't nobody do nothing to take it out of there. And when he looks there and he sees my name, and he looks back up, the only thing he's going to see is the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, on my life. And then, this is not what's going to make sense. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. That don't make sense. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all that you do for us. God, I want to thank you as we've been looking at these scriptures and time after time.